President Trump did not give much public attention over the weekend to the crisis in Puerto Rico, but that's where we start today. Americans in Puerto Rico are slogging through the destruction left by two hurricanes. The island is largely without cell phone service and almost entirely without power. Residents there call the nighttime Boca de Lobo, or a wolf's mouth, because of the pitch black darkness. And authorities are nervously watching the failed dam along the Guajataca River. Meanwhile, Puerto Rico's governor is pleading for more aid from FEMA and from the military. And the island's delegate to Congress said the storm had set Puerto Rico back 20 to 30 years. Let's get updates from two reporters now. Samantha Schmidt is with The Washington Post on the ground in San Juan.
It's pitch black, and it's actually pretty scary driving through the streets. I've only been in the San Juan area at night and tried to avoid it at all costs. And there's a curfew, so, you know, if you're not essential services or officials or, you know, emergency responders or the press, you cannot be out. You will be arrested because there's a lot of looting. It can get pretty scary out there, and, you know, streets aren't lit, so you don't really know where you're going. It's pretty bad.
A lot of looting you just mentioned. What is the security situation, particularly at night? Are there enough police?
Well, police are everywhere, as far as I know. And I know that the governor actually made it so that justices can serve as peace officers. So I'm sure that he's added some other people to the force since then. So he's really boosting those law enforcement numbers. And if you go to, like, gas stations, every single gas station has a police officer. Like, a lot of grocery stores, places where things could get chaotic, I know that they're doubling down on officers. And I must say, actually, all of the police officers I've spoken to, who have asked for directions from, have been very calm, very understanding and helpful.
And through all this, Samantha Schmidt, what are people doing for basic necessities? Are they able to go to the grocery store? Are they able to fill up on gas and do those basic things?
It's been a nightmare. I was in a town yesterday that was in the central mountainous area that's very particularly disconnected. And, you know, they had one supermarket that was open in town and lines were crazy long. Food was rationed. They were only letting in 10 people at a time because they didn't want to have, like, stampedes. So people are telling me that it's not worth it because going to the grocery store would take all day. Going to the gas station, if there's a gas station, would take an entire day because the lines are so long. They were probably wrapping down half a mile down the highway in this town yesterday at the one gas station that was working. People are camping out at night, like sleeping in their cars. In one case, I heard about people that camped out in their cars and woke up the next morning to find out that gas in that station was out. And so it's been a nightmare. And water, and there's places that the families that are saying they had, like, you know, a few last bottles of water and then they didn't have cash. And this is very common around the island that there's no way to find cash. And then once you have cash, you're out of gas. So there's no way to even drive to the grocery store. And once you're there, you'd be sitting the whole day there. So you're not going to be able to go home and work on, you know, fixing up your house or going back to work and helping, you know, emergency responders or helping, you know, whatever you have to do to, you know, to lift up your establishment or wherever you're working. It's miserable.
Samantha Schmidt, we appreciate you and all your reporting there amid the chaos in San Juan and across Puerto Rico. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Samantha Schmidt is with The Washington Post in San Juan. We turn now to Francis Robles, reporter covering the Caribbean and Central America for The New York Times. Francis is in San Juan as well.
The situation is so dire, mostly because there are so many people in so many different places who are suffering. And then just let's keep in mind that there's an island-wide power outage that also comes with no water. So that even if your house was not affected, how long can you live like that? So you're finding people all over the island in different places. The other day we went to Arecibo, I found people who had gotten doused with mud, but you can't even say flooded. You would say 7 feet of mud landed on their house and then it receded. They have no water. And so they were going to the mayor's office, they were going here, they were going there, and they didn't find it.
So as you go about town to town, Francis Robles, in terms of the aid or the relief that's coming through, are you just seeing people lined up and trying to get things back together themselves? Are you seeing authorities, government trucks, federal FEMA relief? What does it look like?
You know, I want to go to a few more towns because I'm wondering if I'm skewed by the few towns that I went where I did not see any like big operations of aid. I did see one government truck, a municipal water truck, where people were very calmly lined up receiving water in the southeast part of the island. That's the only one that I've seen. In Arecibo, where I mentioned the mud and the people had no water, I interviewed the emergency management director, and he said, "Oh yeah, well we have one water truck, but I need 10." They're not angry, you know. The authorities didn't seem angry that there had been a lack of aid, but they seemed exasperated by the simple logistics of it—that it was just too much in too many places. I did see a big kind of military looking operation, but I saw it at a hotel, you know, so it was obviously the U.S. government's kind of operation. And I don't know where they've actually been. And I need to figure that out because what I'm seeing a lot of need.
Well, the governor has made those public pleadings, not only for FEMA, but for military flights. And very publicly, Francis Robles has compared the devastation of this storm directly to Katrina and Sandy, really trying to wake up Washington. From what you've seen, is it that bad?
The problem with comparing it to Katrina, I mean, didn't 1,000 people die in Katrina? I don't remember what the exact numbers were. And while I do think that the body count here is going to rise because I think it's inevitable, it has been kind of shocking as to, so far anyway, the official number I think is 10. Where I think it's comparable, particularly to Sandy, is the way that it's all over the place in the sense that you're seeing problems in so many different places, whether it's flooding, whether it's the roof having been blown off, the lack of water, just different kinds of problems in a lot of different places.
Francis Robles with the New York Times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.